Listen for Insight, a podcast from Miami University's Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute dedicated to spreading ideas of creativity, innovation, and leadership.
This podcast focuses on transformational leadership. There may be mentions to Lockheed or the Institute during this episode. This is in reference to the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute, a 3-year transformational leadership development program at Miami University. Taylor White is an alumni of the Institute and is being interviewed by Stephen Nitter, a current member.
Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Nitter from Cohort 5 of the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute. We are thankful to have Taylor White, a graduate of Cohort 1 of the Institute, join us today. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, Taylor?
Sure. So my name is Taylor White. I am a software developer at Epic, which is a healthcare software company. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and graduated from Miami with a degree in computer science in 2014.
Okay, gotcha. Well, so how do you think the software industry that you're working in, how do you think that influences your work and leadership style?
I think it requires us to be very, very quick on our feet. So what happens in the healthcare industry, if we release software and it's got a bug, they're, literally in certain situations, lives that are at risk, right? And so we may have a plan that we are intending to go down for the next 2 weeks. We follow that agile development process where we check in every 2 weeks and we go through and try and adjust our plans. But, you never know what's going to happen. If someone finds some kind of major issue in the software the night before and you wake up the next morning or you get, paged in the middle of the night, you need to come in and sort of change what the plan is for the foreseeable future because you need to fix this bug and get it back out to our customers right away. So I think it causes us to be pretty flexible and just sort of deal with a certain amount of uncertainty as to how we approach our day-to-day, day-to-day jobs.
So you really got to be like prepared for the unpredictable, basically, and really be adaptable in everything you do. And that's, you've kind of taken that head on.
Yeah, I think that's something just everybody within the company has to really just sort of get used to as they start to take on more and more responsibility in the company. This is sort of a good example. The other day at work, I got notified. Actually, my boss got a call around like 1 in the morning on a Friday night.
Jeez.
that someone in the healthcare industry, this may or may not make it into the podcast, but had hacked a paging vendor on the West Coast. And so they were using a website to broadcast pages that were sent out, any page that gets sent out unencrypted across over the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had nurses who were paging about various patients and various medications and various requests that are going throughout the hospital that they send over their S&T pagers. And so, we had to figure out what can we do if we need to turn off paging across the entire company? How do we protect ourselves and protect our customers from this vulnerability, right? And so it's something that just happens. It's not often, it's occasionally, but when you do have some of these things, the stakes are a lot higher in the healthcare industry as opposed to, say a consumer, like Apple device, et cetera.
Right. Well, that's pretty cool. Moving on to the next question, when it comes to leadership, what qualities do you think new workers tend to lack?
That's an interesting question. That's a good question. I think oftentimes newer employees and people that maybe haven't been exposed to a leadership role oftentimes are a little bit more focused in their own area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
When I started gaining a decent amount of responsibility on our application, I think the first incentive that people have is, how does this relate to my role, or what can I do to help? And oftentimes there may be somebody else who has a different experience that you can leverage and really have a better outcome for the company as a whole. And I think that's something that a lot of people really struggle with at first because they don't want to, pawn off work or delegate off work because they're not used to doing that, or they may not know that they can rely on others, or they may not have an understanding that there's someone else across the company that has a better understanding with regards to whatever the subject is at hand. And ultimately, you want to solve the problem as quickly, as efficiently as possible. And if you have sort of this tunnel vision that's focused on to your past experiences rather than reaching out to somebody else that may be better equipped to answer those questions, then you're really sort of letting the whole company down, right? Because you want to be able to solve these problems more quickly.
I was just going to say, I think what you're saying is really true. Like some of the newer workers, from what I can gauge, is that they don't have the vision yet to put all the pieces together, or they're not aware of it. They're not going after it. They're kind of just thinking, I need to push myself forward, without kind of thinking, hey, I'm here for everyone. We're all here for the same thing, same reasons. They're kind of looking out through their technical roles and not really looking how all the pieces can fit together.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of times what it really comes down to is, you have somewhat of like a limited scope. Maybe you're focusing on one specific area and you're presented with a problem, and your intuition, especially when you're, our company has a lot of very intelligent people. They want to figure out how this problem works. And that's not a bad intuition, but just, if you're taking on an area of leadership, there's only so much work you can do over a period of time. And if you don't have a strong team that you can rely on, then you're not going to be able to effectively manage all the issues that come up, because it's not possible for one person to do.
Right.
So you need to have those people that you can rely on, the ability to delegate that to others in order to be successful in terms of solving issues at the rapid pace that they need to be solved.
Very cool. So what are some effective ways that you do, or what are some effective ways that you use to motivate your teams?
Sure. So a lot of it comes down to some like the culture that we try to inspire like on our team. And culture varies a ton from one team to the next. It's just a matter of some of like the internal processes that you guys do. And so what we've done is a lot of cool meetings where in our agile development process, at the end of every 2 weeks, we have somebody who's working on a project go up and talk to the rest of the team on what they've worked on and show off some of their cool work. And I think that's something that has really made everybody sort of work harder and work towards a goal of, getting their project shown to the rest of the other 40 developers on our team. So I think that's created like a nice culture for us. We also have a little bit of friendly competition. We have what we call QA notes, is when there are bugs that come in through reported by our end users, whether those be nurses, physicians, transporters, housekeepers, etc. And we have to fix those as we're working on these enhancements and sort of visionary steps towards a better product. And no one really wants to work on bug fixes, but we do have incentives, implement some cool incentives to work on those. And so we have a trophy, just this big weightlifter bodybuilder trophy, called the QA Note Crusher. And so at the end of every 2 weeks, we pass this trophy around across the team. And, it's not like you get to keep this trophy or anything, but it's sort of it's an honorary tool for people to be proud of their work and, emphasize that they've really done a lot for our team in order to progress us towards a better place. And so I think a lot of those sort of minute process changes where it creates a culture that people want to be a part of and want to work hard makes our group successful.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I really like that you guys do that trophy. Even though it gets passed around a lot, you guys at least share that together and kind of brings you together.
Yeah, I think it's worked out really well.
Nice. In your experience, how do leaders make sure that meetings are effective?
I'm going through that process right now. There's a couple things that you have to do. So a lot of times what you're going to see when you go and you start working is there's going to be meetings that are scheduled regularly. And at some point they had a purpose. So processes get invented and they have a purpose and they do their job. And so the problem that they're solving may have been solved now. And so you have these meetings just carry on, and the goals become unclear, and people don't really know why they're going to them. It's almost like a chore and taking away from their normal day-to-day work. And at Epic, we've done a great job, I think, of really keeping those kind of meetings from invading our day-to-day jobs. And so making sure that every meeting that's on anyone's calendar has concrete goals, and not getting stuck in that rut of like a routine meeting that doesn't have goals that are still relevant to the team. So making sure that there are goals that everybody has. A lot of our meetings, we go around the room, we say, you know, what is it that I'm trying to get out of this meeting? Why am I at this meeting? And we physically say it to everybody else in the room. So if we have topics that aren't on the agenda for the meeting, or the meeting doesn't have a purpose, you know, people will say, I don't really know why I'm here. And we'll make sure that everyone's on the same page as to what the goal of the meeting is. So that's one piece, is making sure we have the goals of the meetings prior to even going into them, making sure that if there's anything that's on, that anyone that's at the meeting has goals that maybe aren't on the agenda, then we need to make sure that we touch on those at the meeting.
Right, yeah.
The second thing is making sure that people do their prep work, right? A lot of times someone will say, okay, we've got these follow-ups, let's schedule a meeting. Like not doing the work prior to the meeting, then the meeting becomes meaningless.
Right. So I think you have to make sure that there's an expectation as to what happens before the meeting and what the goals are, and both of those things should make a meeting effective.
Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating for me over the summer. I was on a few different project teams during my internships, and I remember that one of those project teams were very ineffective. They didn't really have the action items that I would assume you should have at the end of some meetings. A lot of people didn't show up. And like you said, there really should be something implemented where you need to know why you're there. You need to kind of build that team around that common goal.
Exactly.
So going off of that also, how have you implemented what you learned in the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute in your career?
That's a good question. You know, one thing I thought was very interesting when I first started working at Epic, you guys have that Seven Habits of Highly Effective Leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Have you read that book yet?
Oh, yeah. We read it last year.
Very cool. So the first day that I started at Epic, they gave us three things, four depending on your role. And one of those was the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And then when I became a manager at the company, you go through a few training classes, and they also gave us one of the books that we had read at the Lockheed Martin Leadership program. And
cool.
I thought it was very, very interesting, because a lot of the stuff that they are teaching us as we go through some of these programs within the company are things that I'd already sort of learned. And there's an article that was in one of the Harvard Business Review books that we had read through the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute. You know, what's the difference between a manager and a leader? And I think mm-hmm. that is one of the things that I most rely on and most look back to as I learned through the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute. But really just some of the readings and the goal of like continuous learning is something that I often think about. I've had to have a lot of crucial conversations. You have gone through that piece of the program thus far.
Oh yeah.
I think I learned a lot during that. I find crucial conversations difficult. And so I sort of knew that I found this difficult going, you know, coming out of the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute. And something else that I knew that I was a little bit weaker on was just effective communication and communicating quickly. As we did a lot of those big projects, as we were putting on events in college, I found that was something that I knew I struggled with. And so going into the real world with an understanding as to what I need to improve upon to really be better in my career, I think has been very advantageous to me. And I've learned a lot about it, and I'm still not great. Like, definitely be better at communicating, but I understand, you know, some of my strengths and weaknesses, whether that comes from Strength Finders 2.0 or just going through some of the challenges that we had to go through when we were part of the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute. I do think I started off a much better place than many of my peers did. And I also think that I have, to some extent, sort of a culture of continuous learning, and I read a lot of those books that we still have. I still have them all here. I brought them all to Madison, Wisconsin. So
nice.
I think that has been the culture, and just the understanding of my strengths and weaknesses has been something that's been pretty valuable. And I also just think it's very interesting that just the two books that I've been given here from my company are things that we've already read.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Taylor. I'm really glad that we got to talk to you and get a lot of insight from you.
My name is Taylor White, and thank you for listening for Insight.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Listen for Insight, a part of Miami Ideas. Tune in next time for more insights on creativity, innovation, and leadership. Siesta by Gisar is licensed under AI.